Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. This is going to be a big deal program. I'm going to share with you one of the biggest fruits of this year's discernment around the word of the year. The word of the year for me is farewell. And again, my hope is that I don't expect that this is the year I'm going to die and say farewell to the world, but it has been a theme for sure. And I'm going to share about that in many different forms, but in a big deal as well. Back in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name, and I thank you and praise you, Lord, for all of the ways that you love us, that you speak a word into our lives, Lord, a right now word, a word for today. And Lord, that you give us insight and wisdom as we move forward through life. And so, Lord, I ask that you would give us grace, give us wisdom, give us understanding, and the courage to follow your purpose and plan for our lives. Lord, give us the grace to do that. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. So I'm going to be sharing with you today an announcement that there's some folks that kind of closer in our lives know this. I know that there's a move that Carrie and I are making with our family. And I'm going to share about that today on the program. And how did we come to this? Like, why would we do this? What's this all about? Like, simple, clean, and clear. What's that all about? And I'm doing this for a couple of reasons. The first, again, is just to share with you the purpose and the goal of Sound Insight through the 20 years I've been on the radio is to walk out our life of faith together. Like, how do you walk day to day as a disciple, a Catholic Christian disciple of Jesus? What does that actually mean in the where the rubber meets the road, right? In the details of the day-to-day life. And oftentimes it has to do with the day-to-day activities, right? The things that happen to us, the events where there are opportunities to share your faith, to live your faith, to express your faith, but then also the battles of day-to-day discipleship, right? Growing in holiness, discerning your mission, all of that sort of stuff. But there are also bigger picture things. There are times and seasons where there's an age or a stage in your life, and all of a sudden there's a bigger move that's required, right? Something bigger is happening. And we've kind of lived through like the last 5 years, right, has been marked in a very significant way by like a radical, let's call it a disruption and an intervention that has happened in the lives of many Catholics, really hundreds and hundreds of families that I'm personally aware of that got dislodged from where they were living and they moved. Right? Obviously, I'm talking about COVID and then the aftermath of COVID, where to be just relevant to the folks listening on this program and on the Sacred Heart Radio Network, hundreds of families moved from the west side of the state to the east side of the state into northern Idaho. Hundreds of families. And that happened. COVID was a really big deal for dislodging, interrupting, disrupting the typical way of living life. And then that became a wake-up call. It became kind of like, you know, ice bucket challenge, right? And it was this sense of, what am I doing? Wait a minute, what's happening to my kids? Wait a minute, the house is on fire. We need to get out. Or the modern day Herod that is at work in and through the state of Washington's laws and policies and the wider culture that is fostered and promoted and has infiltrated every sector of life in that Puget Sound area for that, that can be a family's experience. And they're going to say, wait a minute, my kid is losing their faith. My kid is being poisoned, even in the midst of Catholic schools. And it's like, you know what? I've got to get my kid to heaven. And I need to save my kid from the slaughter of the modern day Herod, the contemporary Herod. I need to flee to Egypt. I need to find a refuge in Egypt to pull my kid off of the front line where they're not being fire hosed and inundated in an intense way, just surrounding them, encompassing them, and in diminishing their faith, weakening their faith, destroying their faith, undermining their faith, leading to them to lose their faith. And that summarizes the situation of hundreds of families that uprooted and moved. The kind of humor that I said was that there weren't that many people that I've met in life who said, I can't wait to get to that stage in my life where I reach the pinnacle of my career and I finally can retire and or move to Spokane. It's not Palm Beach. It's not Miami Beach. It's not, Vail, Colorado. It's not, things like that, right? No, it's Spokane. It's Northern Idaho. This is, I guess there are for some, a desire to move here because of having roots here or family here or in Northern Idaho. In fact, I have come to discover that a lot of law enforcement and military folks who retired are drawn to Northern Idaho. And so that has had a magnetic pull to it. But on the whole, it wasn't like a destination for retirement. But the hundreds of families that moved here were seeking a place of refreshment and recovery and a place where kids could experience a recovery of faith, a refreshment, and an awakening. I think recovery is probably the best word. I used the phrase detox. It'd be detox from the poisonous impacts of what they were experiencing on the West Side, and again, even though that wasn't that's not the case for everybody that lives on the West Side, of course. The families that moved here have experienced that in large measure, so many of them, and have been very blessed by the move. And so Carrie and I were privileged to be at the very forefront of that. We moved here in the fall of 2019 before COVID. And in a certain sense, it was like, okay, God, I don't know what you're up to here, but all of a sudden COVID hit and the things that moved us and made us say, we have to go. The Lord is saying, if you're going to fulfill your call, here's how I'm giving you a path to do that. And so we uprooted and moved. All of a sudden, we were positioned to be in that place to help, again, so many other families be able to move in very direct ways and indirectly influenced so many more who have come this way. And so that was a stage. That was a stage in our lives. And it's lasted since the fall of 2019. Well, what this is leading to is that Carrie and I, we're actually moving. We're going to move our family, and we're moving in our time frame is within a month. So after the school year ends and a week or two after that, we're going to move to Boise, Idaho. And so that's the big ta-da, is that we're saying farewell to the Spokane to Coeur d'Alene corridor. We've been living our life and sharing fellowship and helping to foster faith for the last 5.5 years. And it has been a huge blessing in our lives to be here. Again, it's been I'm going to use the phrase, a pain reliever. It's been a tremendous pain reliever for my family's life of faith. And it's helped them to recover and to go deeper into their Catholic faith for my kids. A huge blessing. And so it's like, well, wait a minute. Well, why would we say farewell to that? What is that all about? Why would we go to Boise, Idaho? What's there for us? And the answer is we don't have any family there. Well, why would we go there then? What's that all about? So that's what I'm going to share with you about today is this discerning process where You ask the Lord, Lord, what do you have for us? Lord, what are the signs of the times that we ought to be reading? We have to read the signs of the times. We got to discern them in the light of the gospel. What's the call that God has for our lives? And so I hope that as I share this with you, that you'll draw out some principles for your life. You'll draw out some principles for your own life of faith to say, what does this mean for me in terms of my own attempts to be faithful, to fulfill the call that God has for my life? And if you're married, if you have a family, it's what is God's call for our family's life? And how do we recognize that? And so that's what I'm talking about today. This idea of moving to Boise was not on our radar screen until about a year ago. It was last May, and Carrie had been kind of poking at me, hey, Tom, we really ought to get away and spend some days together reflecting on our married life. And, you know, this was our 30 years married. And she's like, look, this is a milestone. We ought to be stopping and pondering, like, what was that all about? What was that 30 years all about? What was this last 5 years all about? And then now that we're 30 years married, what's next? What's the next thing that the Lord has for us? What's this next stage of our life all about? And in addition to that, I was turning 60. So not only were we going to have our 30th wedding anniversary, I was going to reach 60 years old. And I turned 60 in November. And I bring that up because I had a lot of classmates that I would occasionally go on to Facebook, and I have a high school class page that I'm a part of, or a group that I'm a part of. And a lot of them would be sharing, you know, their reflection or thought or the meaning of them turning 60. And for me, it was just a number. It didn't mean anything. I wasn't like fearing it. I wasn't looking forward to it. I wasn't seeing it as having anything all that meaningful. But boy, all that changed. And it changed over time, and it changed in a way that I hadn't really anticipated. So I did finally make the commitment and the time for Carrie and me to get away. And so the goal was, oh, let's get away in a place that is far enough away where we're not at home and not easily or immediately accessible to home, and therefore will be really, in a sense, cutting that cord of saying, I'm still connected back. Of, okay, if the kids are okay and everything's okay and all that, no. We've actually gone far enough away. And yet at the same time, we didn't want to get in a plane and fly. And so Boise was the place. We had never been to Boise together. I had been there, you know, over 20 years ago, but hadn't, I don't think I'd been back maybe once since. Again, this is just to do church work, but we'd never been to Boise together. And Carrie had heard some nice things about it. It's like, oh, let's go check it out. So we went down there, and you've heard some of these stories already, because it was from that time, those 3 days that we were together, that I listened to that infamous podcast on 10x is easier than 2x, and that idea of living a 10x life where you have a 10 times productivity or results. It's a transformative way of approaching, like, how do you envision what's going to happen next in your life? And that was from a book by that name, and they were talking to one of the authors in the podcast, and Carrie had heard it and wanted me to listen to it as a way of kind of priming the pump to get the conversations and the juices going for us to be able to enter into this envisioning process, sort of visioning and strategic planning, like, where are we headed? What's this next thing all about? And I was really caught off guard, right? I was really, God broke through in using that podcast to be able to get me to stop and say, wait a minute, what is God doing in our lives right now? And how do I live? What does a 10X life look like? And if you remember where all that led to me walking the Camino. So walking the Camino was about a gracious disruption, of the status quo in my life. And it was the acknowledgement, and I didn't realize this until I got back and started living my post-Camino life, the inflection point that actually occurred in my life as a result of going on the Camino. And so we did that time away, and it was a year ago. It was during a Memorial Day, not weekend, but Memorial Day week. So that Monday we took off and we were there. So it was just over a year ago. And it emerged in time that I ended up realizing that if I was going to realize this 10X life, this change in my life, how I was living, I needed to do something that was radical and graciously disruptive to really intervene into my life to get me to break free from the things that were just letting me live in this status quo life. So I'm up against a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk a bit more about this idea of saying farewell to this area. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. I'm sharing with you a meaning of the word of my year, the word of the year 2025 at the beginning of the year, because we pray and discern and say, Lord, give me a way of helping me to synthesize what it is you're doing in my life this year. And my word of the year was, or is, farewell. And it was so ironic, not ironic, that's not the right word. It was a confirming because Carrie and I had been talking about this inflection point, this like a time of meaningful change. It was a time of a turning point in our lives, 30 years married, turning 60 years old. That had happened last year. I'd gone on the Camino. It was a time of graciously disrupting my life, everything from the use of technology to exercising and eating, so getting in better shape, more quiet time out in nature, praying, doing penance, all of those incredible goods that came from the Camino. And then coming back to my life and realizing, wait a minute, as I turned 60, there was this sense of all these videos started popping up about financial planning, retirement, things like that. And I'm not a guy that's really made to retire. I can't imagine doing, like, not working, right? Let's call it not working. At the same time, I want to spend my time differently. I don't want to be doing work that is for the sake of, very simply, making money, just getting a paycheck. And I have been very blessed in my life to be able to work in a way that allowed me to make ministry my principal work. And that was for many, many years. And then the complementary work I did to be able to make more money to provide for the family was this coaching and consulting work for, again, a couple of decades. And then when I moved here, I shifted and used those same skills that I was using to serve senior executives and CEOs and small business owners and, you know, at companies in coaching and consulting. I started to use those in real estate to help families move. So helping them, and that was like a real gift. It was like, wow, Lord. I hate to say it like this, because God does 1,000 things with every one thing. But when you stop and say, what was that all about? Like, what was all of that coaching and consulting all about? On the one hand, it was me using the leadership gifts that I had been able to develop in church settings to be able to bring them to bear in business settings and to do some good in the business world. Yeah, that's one level for sure. For sure, another level was I did it not because that was my great passion in life, but because it made more money than ministry, and it enabled me to be in ministry. That was like St. Paul. He made tents. You remember that. St. Paul was a tent maker who made tents in order to be able to preach the gospel free of charge. And so I had enough counsel and enough prudence to recognize that being in ministry would be practically impossible to be the sole source of income, and at the same time be open to a lot of kids, be generous in welcoming kids into our lives, and be able to provide for them a Catholic education, and have Carrie stay home and raise the kids, right? So all of those things converging together, it's not a likely outcome that someone can do those things and do it on a ministry salary. It's, I don't know, 1 in 1,000, the very, very few. You know, count them on just a few hands, because you're not going to be able to, as a husband and father, have many kids. And this is just a very practical thing. You're just not going to be able to be a husband and a father, be open to many kids, give them a Catholic education, and own a home, and have your wife stay home and raise the kids, as if that's your ideal, and do that in almost any ministry position. You're not going to be able to do that and teach in a Catholic school. You're not going to be able to do that and hold a diocesan position in a diocesan office. You're not going to be able to do that working for a parish. Now, there are only a few rare air exceptions, rare air, and that is you may be able to hold an administrative position at a diocesan level or in a Catholic school and be able to raise a family, maybe in a large parish be paid enough in a senior administrative position. But those are extremely rare, extremely rare. And even in those rare cases, you're still going to be capped out and not be able to peacefully pay for all of the tuitions that are involved in having your kids go to Catholic schools, and then you get on to college, right? So I'm just sharing that with you just as a practical thing. This is a very practical thing that many men who desire to spend their lives in ministry, in a Catholic apostolate, in a Catholic position, are just never going to be able to provide well financially for their families, because the structure of the church just doesn't pay that well. It just doesn't. And so for me, doing the coaching and consulting work, serving corporate America, was God's blessing to me. God opened up the door for me to be able to do that and be able to make enough money to be able to be that tent making, right? To be able to make that tent making so that I could still run a ministry. But it meant having two jobs. And I'm not complaining, but that was my life. So I just always had to have two jobs to be able to provide for the family and fulfill the call that I believe God had for my life in running the ministry and giving talks, writing books, producing resources, being on the radio, right? All of that stuff that I've done. Well, all of that comes down to, okay, now I'm 30 years married and 30 years married, 60 years old. And let me add in some other layers to this. As I got back from the Camino, and Carrie and I are looking and saying, wait a minute. Okay, we're at this turning point, this inflection point, turning 60. All of a sudden, again, you know, we had gone away and done some planning about finances for retirement and things like that. And it's like, wait a minute. How many more healthy years will I have? And the answer is we don't know, right? We don't know all on the one hand. On the other hand, shouldn't we act in accord with what is, you know, wisdom and prudence around these things, that if I want to be healthy enough to be active and have energy to be engaged with my wife and my kids, and then as they get married and have grandkids, to be around and engaged and healthy and active with them, I better really start paying attention to how my work-life balance and work style, like my style of working, introduces just tremendous stresses, strains, and pressures to be able to continue to provide for the family and be able to save for retirement. Okay, so all of that is like coming around in our lives. And so Carrie and I start asking like the bigger questions. Well, what do we want to do with the time that remains? What is God asking us to do with the time that remains? And where are we at as a family? So all of a sudden, some very practical things just started to appear. Like number one, gee, the kids that are in college and beyond aren't really looking at the home, this house that we're living in, as their home. Once they hit that college, those college years, they're less connected in a very intimate way to the home that they've lived in with their mom and dad and their kids, their siblings. And that was a bit of a surprise to us. And so it's like, wow, we only have three kids at home. We only have three kids at home, but the home that we're living in here in Eastern Washington was a home that was suitable for nine kids. It's not necessary for three kids. And it's like, well, why are we still here? It's time for us to downsize. And that's a pretty typical thing, right? A lot of folks that I've served in real estate is they'll reach out to me and they're like, we're empty nesters and it's time to downsize. We don't need to be in this big house anymore. It's time for us to downsize. We don't want to care for the house. We don't want to care for the yard. And we don't want to care for or carry the burden of like all of the expenses involved in maintaining this house. We want to downsize. So as soon as that happened, as soon as that like dawned on us in a really simple, clean way, wait a minute, we don't need a house to hold nine kids. We need a house that will house three kids. And wait a minute, in a couple of years, it's going to be two kids. In a couple of years, it's going to be one kid. And then it's going to be no kids. And yet at the same time, trying to be practical and realistic, some kids might end up back in our house, right? For short-term stays or whatever. Be realistic around that too, but don't need a house for nine kids. So all of a sudden it's like, okay, wait a minute, we should move. And the most natural time to move would be next summer. Well, that would be now this summer. That would be now just coming up after the school year ends. So all of a sudden it's like, well, then where do we move? Right? So where do we move? This becomes a big question. Brothers and sisters, I want you to stop and ask yourself, Lord, what do you have for my life and where am I supposed to be living it? And it's going to be different answers for different people. I literally had this conversation with two different couples in the last week. And they weren't like, they didn't come just out of the blue, but it was them talking about their life circumstances. And what's so interesting is that one of the couples, they were in a very similar point in their lives. They're like, oh my goodness, this idea of being at a major turning point or an inflection point in our lives where we don't want to work so hard anymore. We just don't need to. We don't have to. We don't want to. Why are we doing this? Then the question became, well, what is our call? And this one couple, they were very blessed to have all of these grandkids that were part of their lives and many more and more grandkids coming. And they're like, well, we're not moving anywhere. We're staying put, but we want to stay put in a space and in a way that allows us to attend more to our kids and our grandkids. Well, that is really beautiful. So that's a couple that is, again, looking at the age and stage that they're in, recognizing the fundamental dynamics are not having them uproot and move, but rather it's sink in deeper roots and roll up their sleeves for the joyful work of being now grandparents and really enjoying that and fostering and growing a flourishing life of faith and family among their kids and their grandkids, and also care for a couple of older parents as well. So for them, family was a deciding factor, and it was a real gift. There was another woman that I spoke with, and she and her husband are discerning, do they stay or do they move? And it was concerning one of their kids and their kids in high school and trying to figure out the best place for them. And we sort of talked it all through and had a chance to kind of prayerfully consider it. And I coached them through it. And there was a sense of saying, no, as challenging as it is for us to be where we're living and to have our kid at the school that our kid is at, that's the right place. The idea of moving, they tested it, they reflected on it, but based on their circumstances and their life situation, it made the most sense for them to literally stay put right where they were. And so it was great. It's great to be able to, again, not great. It's important to be able to stop and say, Lord, what do you have for me? What are you doing in my life right now? And if I'm going to say farewell to things, what are those things I'm supposed to say farewell to? And so in our lives, it was, oh, well, we're saying farewell to this house. Well, now the question is, where do we move? Well, one of the biggest questions that then came up was, what other factors are part of our kids' lives? And then it was, well, what school are they at? And if we moved, what school would they go to? And then even in the broader category, well, what about the older kids? What are they thinking? Since they're no longer living in our home, what are they thinking about where they would want to end up? So that factor comes into play. But then there's the whole question of, but wait a minute, if we have a chance to move, should we also take into account the wider environmental factors? And those wider environmental factors can be both the political realities. And so being in the state of Washington versus in the state of Idaho, as well as other factors like weather. You know, that's another set of environmental factors. And the opportunities, as the strengths and limits of the broader communities that you're a part of. So all of that was what got put on the table as soon as we realized, wait a minute, it's time for us to move out of this house. And it opened up a whole series of conversations for us that we've been busy about reflecting, discerning, whiteboarding it, putting it on whiteboards on our walls for months and months and months. And now I'm just sharing the fruits with you. I'll continue this in just a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Kern. It's great to be with you. So I'm sharing with you about our move. Carrie and I are moving in just a few weeks. We're moving from Spokane Valley, where we've lived for the last almost 6 years, 5.5 years. We're moving down to the Boise, Idaho area, probably in a city right next to Boise called Meridian. And so we still don't know exactly where we're living yet. We're going to be renting a house rather than buying something for now. And we have a school where our kids are going to be attending. It's called the Ambrose School. It's a classical Christian school. And it's a wonderful school. We've visited it several times. We've had our kids shadow. They went through a day of school there. We've been able to meet some of the families. Some wonderful friends of ours had moved down to Boise, and their kids have now gone through one full year of school there and had a chance to, again, kind of share their stories along the way. And so we've been diligent in pressure testing. Is this school going to be a good landing spot for the three girls that we still have that are living at home and are in school age? So they're going to next year be in 7th, 9th, and 11th grades. And so Carrie and I feel like our discernment is that this will be a good landing spot for them, and hope and pray for the next 5 years that it'll be the place where our kiddos finish their schooling. And so this is part of the, let's call it the great adventure, the next step in Carrie, in my own sense of what are we doing in this stage of our life. And so I'm going to talk about this in a more personal way now, because I've used the phrase inflection point. I've used the phrase, the word, yeah, inflection point. I've used the phrase gracious disruption. And if you have been following along with some of the recent sharings I've done, and recent, I mean, really in the last 6 months or so, I've been talking quite a bit about overcoming this idea of comfortable dissipation. How do we overcome comfortable dissipation where we're spiritually deflated, even though we're living our lives consciously, intentionally as Catholics? We're doing Catholic stuff. We believe Catholic things. We go to church. We say our prayers. We strive to live according to the moral code of the Catholic faith. We go to confession when we don't. And yet, the life of faith we live is rather, frankly, comfortable. It's still marked by a life that is, for in many measures, easy and soft and satisfying and pleasing. And when those become hallmarks of our lifestyle, then it is much more likely that we will be spiritually deflated rather than walking out our life of faith with vigor, rigor, courage, and generosity. And that has been a conviction of mine, that I don't want to settle. I refuse to settle for a life of comfortable dissipation. But I want to set myself up for a higher likelihood that I'll be able to live a life that is marked by vigor and rigor, that is marked by generosity and courage. And in a certain sense, it's really about the mode of living the gospel. I've been sharing with you scriptures that were meaningful and really important in my own life of faith, that their transformative impact. And one of them is that fundamental gospel passage that Mark 8, 34 to 38, or the version in Luke, which is 9, 23 to 26. And that's it, just Jesus saying, if anyone would be my follower, if anyone would be my disciple, you must deny your very self. You must deny yourself down to the very core of your being. You must say no to yourself. You must say yes to my cross. You must say yes to a cross, something that will crucify you, something that is going to put yourself to death. You will die to yourself as you're attempting to say yes to God. That is going to hurt. That will involve suffering. That will involve penance. That will involve acts of reparation. That, you know what that's taking? That's going to take rigor and vigor. It's going to take courage and generosity if we're going to live like that. And so I feel this, and to do that every day, right? That was the Gospel of Luke, that little, you know, deny yourself, pick up your cross every day, if you would be my follower. And then what does it profit someone to gain the whole world? Gain the whole world and be comfortable and satisfied and experiencing in a very pleasing way the good things this world has to offer and be spiritually deflated. So what does it gain? What do you gain? What profit is there if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? If you don't, and even if it doesn't mean go to hell, but what if it means just settling for a soft life, an easy, comfortable life, rather than a life that is marked by a heroic effort, a magnanimous, there's that word, magnanimity, to strive to do something great for God. And what does that mean, to strive to do something great for God? For me, it gets encapsulated in the scripture of the right now moment in my life. It's the scripture for this new stage that I've entered into. And it's that passage from Luke 19, 11 to 27. Luke 19, the nobleman goes off to a foreign land to claim the kingship. And before he leaves, what does he do? He gives a gold coin to each of his servants. And he says, put it to work. Put it to work. And when I come back, you can give an account. And so when he comes back, the first guy who steps forward, you know the story, says, you gave me one gold coin. I'm giving you back 10. Giving you back 10. And then the one gives 5. And then the other one says, here's 1. I'm going to give you back. I buried the one you gave me. I'm just going to give it back to you. And that last one gets condemned. And then the coin that he gets is given to the one with 10. And the one who gave 10 was put in charge of 10 cities, right? This passage has meant something to me for many years. I prayed, I don't know, it was maybe 15 years ago. I prayed to live a 10 cities life. I wanted to live a life that would yield the fruit of 10 cities. Well, lo and behold, this idea of living a 10X life that Carrie and I were discerning a year ago, right now, a year ago, we'd come back with this vision of a 10X life. All of a sudden, it's been transformed in the scriptures to a 10X life, but in a different meaning, the tenfold return on the investment. And so my prayer has been very specifically, Lord, you've given me a gold coin for this stage of my life. The gold coin is the right now moment of my life. The gold coin is the life that you have given me to live. All right, that's my life. That's the gold coin. And at one point in my future, I could die tomorrow. I could die in a year. I could die in 5 years, 10 years, 25, 30 years. I hope it's not 30 years. I hope it's shorter than that. But however long it is, Lord, I beg you, give me the grace to live a 10 gold coin life. Lord, please, I'm going to start praying into that 10 gold coin life. And I'm going to start asking myself, I'm going to start reflecting, I'm going to be praying, I'm saying, Lord, if I lived a 10 gold coin life, so that when I meet you in judgment, when I look you in the eyes, Jesus, at judgment, because I've now died and I've face to face with you, and you're going to reveal to me the life that I was supposed to live, the person I was supposed to become, Lord, I am begging for purgatory to cover the gap that exists. But in the meantime, please break into my life and give me the grace to say farewell to all of those things that are holding me back from living a 10 gold coin life. And Lord, give me the sensitivity, the discernment to be able to come to know what my life would look like if I was living a 10 gold coin life. For right now, as a 60-year-old man, as I'm entering into this stage, Lord, I give you permission. You just make it clear to me what I'm supposed to say farewell to. And this could be farewell to how I'm eating, how I'm exercising, how I'm spending my time, what I'm doing with my time, how I'm using my gifts. Lord, whatever it is you ask me to say farewell to, I say yes in advance. I say yes to saying farewell to those things. And I say yes to welcoming into those things, into my life, those things that you're asking of me. And so one of the big things that I believe the Lord is asking of me in the right now moment of my life is to write books. And you've already begun to hear some of the content of several of these books as I've already laid them out to you. I did a couple of radio programs on small, you know, short prayers that will make a big difference, or small prayers that will make a great change. And I did one on fundamental questions. Now I'm sharing with you insights into scriptures that have changed my life, right? So those are some of the examples of what I feel called to do. More on this in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. And so I'm sharing with you that sort of this is the announcement. Our close friends know it. The kids' school friends know it. The schools where the kids are at right now, they know it, that we're moving to Boise and or to Meridian. We're moving to southern Idaho. And we're doing so because we believe that's what God's calling us to do. And how do we know that, or how do we have we got clear on that? Well, we're paying attention to the things that are showing up inside of us. So at one level, it's a very practical thing, like Carrie enjoys the weather in Boise a lot more than she does the weather in this area, the what are called shoulder months, the length of the colder winters that are here. It's just we're moving at a stage in our lives where a warmer climate is just going to be preferable for us. And then in terms of setting up ourselves in a city, in a metropolis that is more appealing to our kids, so that when our kids get married and they're looking for a place to settle, they've made it clear that they're really not drawn to settle in the Spokane, Coeur d'Alene area. Well, they're more open to settle in the Boise area, more economic opportunity there, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's a factor. It's not the total factor, but that's a factor as well. There are things that fit there in terms of we found a school where we feel like our kids will excel, and it'll help them pursue excellence. We really do desire them to be in a faith-based high school for sure, and one that follows a classical model for sure. So this classical Christian school has have been very impressive to us, and the families we've met there are very impressive to us. And so our hope is that we'll invest there and that our kids will flourish there. And at the same time, this is also meant to be a time for me to make more room in my life for writing books. I mentioned that to you. I will be spending more time writing books, more time doing ministry. And so one of the beautiful gifts of doing the Camino last year is that I had a chance to partner more fully with other real estate agents because I was going to be away for about 40 days. And I'm very active as a real estate agent serving people. It made great sense for me to partner with other agents in serving my clients. And clients, they love it because they get two for one. Doesn't cost them anything more to be served by two agents than it is by one. And not agents are not good at everything, right? So real estate agents, some are going to be good at the strategizing, communication, marketing, selling, high stakes conversations, things like that. And others are really good at the operational aspects, making sure that all the paperwork is done and administrating things and making sure that deadlines are kept and policies are followed. And also, some are really good at knowing how to do interior design and establish a house for its optimum condition when it's going to be listed, or are really good at understanding art and architecture, design and styles and neighborhood knowledge and all of that to be able to show houses well. So those gifts don't all live in one agent. So to be able to have two agents that work in a complementary fashion, super helpful. And so that's what I ended up doing. I was that first kind of agent. I'm good at the strategy stuff, right? I'm good at the coaching and helping them get clear about what they want and then really helping to negotiate well, et cetera. And then I would partner with agents that are good at the boots on the ground, administrative, operational, interior design, architecture stuff, the style of build, and have an eye for that sort of thing. So it's worked out really well. And so when I go to Boise, I'm leaving behind here agents that are partnering with me to serve my clients that are still here. Because the work that I do, I can do over Zoom, over the phone. I don't have to be in their presence to help them discern what's the right pricing strategy, what's the right go-to-market strategy, all that other stuff. And yet to have the comfort and confidence that there's somebody actually physically there looking them in the eyes and walking with them, it's like a great way for me to step back in a meaningful way from the full engagement that I currently do in real estate and yet still be involved in real estate. And so that'll be a source of income for me, but in a smaller way. And I'm going to take a bigger leap of faith to trust that the Lord is going to take care of us financially And to do that in a way that says, Lord, I'm going to write books because you're asking me to do that. Now I'm going to spend more time in a less stressful environment praying. And so for Carrie and me to be able to spend more time working on our health, getting healthy, caring a bit more for ourselves, it's something that these retirement videos is so interesting. I encourage you to just watch some, even if you're not like near to retirement age, just you can watch all kinds of topics. Like, what are the top 10 regrets that people had regarding how they prepared for retirement, or things that they didn't do in retirement, or things they wish they had done differently in retirement. And boy, I'm learning a lot from them. And again, for me, it's not like I have a job and now I retire. Here's my watch. And now I'm done working and now I'm going to get up and play golf. That is not me. I'm not that guy. So for me, being able to say I'm going to hold my life in reserve more fully to take care of my health and well-being, that has not been a priority for me. I have, and with my servant's heart, I've just spent more time serving others. And that's just a rationalization, I know. It's just rationalizing a lack of intentionality around eating healthier and exercising more. But with less work to do, being less engaged with work, less stress and strain in a more simplified life, I'm making more space and room to eat healthier and exercise more in a daily fashion with Carrie, so that we can have a good stretch of years, hope to God, pray to God for that blessing, to be able to spend time together well before we pass that curve where health starts decreasing significantly. And again, there's no guarantee, right? A health event can intervene in just a moment's notice. And all of a sudden, all those best laid plans just disappear. And I just know a number of folks that happened to in the executive coaching I was doing with these senior executives, and the losses they experienced. And there was just a sense of, wait a minute, I poured all of this out for these decades. And now all of a sudden, we were just at the end. We were ready to retire. We just retired. And then all of a sudden, boom, it was gone. Someone had a significant medical event or passed away or had an injury. And all of a sudden it was like, oh my goodness, I am so sorry that happened. And trying to learn from that, right? And be practical, right? To be practical and to say, wait a minute, I am not going to let that happen in my regard, right? I don't want to settle for that in my regard. Is part of me learning from this past year. So moving to Boise is about setting ourselves up for a different lifestyle together, one that has more room for caring for our health and well-being, caring for our how we like live our lifestyle. And frankly, the 30 years of pouring out, 25 years of pouring out for kids and all of that, to slow that down, to be able to enjoy life a bit more together. Carrie and I have not done a ton of vacations and certainly not done really almost anything without the kids. So to be able to take some time together, boy, that would be a huge gift, especially insofar as it has to do with us doing things for the Lord and doing things that will enhance our relationship, not just together, but enhance our relationship with the Lord. That for me, that's exciting. That's something that, you know, gets me fired up. And so my hope and prayer is that I share this with you as part of my desire to just be transparent and just let you know that, you know, a year ago when we went away, this was not on our radar screen that we would be moving. And all of a sudden, through taking time apart, stepping apart, and opening ourselves to the Lord to say, Lord, we thank you for the journey that we've been on, but what else? We want to make sure we're not missing something. We want to be open, Lord, to have you speak into our lives and be able to dislodge, right? Disrupt what we're doing And if this is an inflection point, this like major turning point of significant change, we want to be open to that. Give us the grace to recognize what that would look like. And then give us the grace to be able to walk that out. And making a major change like that took the Camino, in my regard, it took the Camino to disrupt and intervene and dislodge to allow for a transformation. And then even then, trying to live out that transformation with my lifestyle still the same, working as hard as we've been working, that wasn't getting it done. That half measures wasn't going to get it done. There you go. So there's the announcement. I'll have more to say in days to come. God bless.